Well, it's been a long time since I've been here, and I'm so glad to see you all. I'm trusting the Lord that whatever unnamed thing wanted to keep coming into my body, that we're finally going to get rid of it, okay? It started last year in 2023, and it would come and then go away. And I go, okay, it's gone. Then it would come back again and go, oh, no, it's back again, you know. And so I'm looking forward to days of great health from now on. Amen. So I'm glad to see you. I thought this morning that I would just share with you a section of scripture that's been with me for a long, long time. I'm going to do a little prelude so that you can jump into it with ease, okay? It's in 1 Peter. And the book of 1 Peter, he has a salutation and some prayer at the beginning, and then at verse 13, he starts saying, well, therefore, so he's finally quickly getting to what he wants to start to write to them about. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And then Peter continues to, in the next couple of chapters, it's all about holy living. And I'm going to skip now down to chapter 3. And this is the verses that I even have a marker in here at that place for myself to go back to it. This marker has history. This was it's got Psalm 126:3 on the front and all the books of the Bible on the back. It's a bit torn and it's got scotch tape. That's because this was something I was given in Sunday school in the Lutheran church when I was a little girl. Okay. I tend to keep memory pieces of paper with me, okay, and stuff. So anyway, that was a sidetrack. Chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. And I want to just encourage you with this section of scripture. In the days that we are now, who would have thought we would see and hear what we're seeing and hearing? Who would have thought? Okay. But as believers, followers, disciples of Jesus, we have a kingdom presentation that needs to be brought forth in our lives. Okay. So Peter says, to sum up, here we are, we're summing up things. All of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called, you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. for the one who desires life and to see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Continue, brothers and sisters, in holy living before the Lord, for he is holy. Be a blessing, give a blessing when you are in circumstances and you have people speaking to you. Take a moment. Don't let the flesh rise up. Give a blessing, for you were called to inherit a blessing.
Amen. God bless you. God is good. Thank you. Before we get started this morning, it's good to be with you all. Amen. We're living in wonderful times. We're living in times where we see the hand of God move in ways that we have never seen him move before. And if we weren't living in this situation, we wouldn't be moving that way. So it's exciting. It's exciting times. But before I go any further, the Lord has laid in my heart, I think we need to lift up Rich Sunriano, and I think we need to just stop for a moment before I start preaching. Let's just raise your hands to the Lord. He and Kate are going through some terrible times right now, and the body of Christ needs to stand with them. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, Rich, if you're watching this, we speak to you to rise up out of your sickbed in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare, Lord, healing upon his ribs. Lord, every rib must be repaired. Every tendon, every ligament, every nerve must be repaired. We pray for, Lord, as they've had to do some work with his heart and separate his chest, we pray right now for healing of the chest bone. We pray for healing of of the rhythm of his heart. And we speak to you, Rich, you are to be healed. We speak to his elbows, what they were damaged when he fell. And Father, every aspect of his body that's in pain, we declare from heaven right now that you are healed, Rich, in the name of Jesus. We decree it and we declare it. Be healed in Jesus' name. We pray for Kate right now as she's going through just a rough time with Rich being in Rhode Island. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for grace and mercy upon her, wisdom and knowledge, and that, Father, you bring Rich home safely and healed in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. You don't miss a servant until he's gone. You know, and every, yes, thank you. And every service I come here and I walk and there's Rich, you know, so it becomes something that you expect, but let's keep him in prayer, not just for today, but until we see him walk back and keep him in prayer that he'll be totally healed. Amen. Everything happens for a reason. There's nothing that doesn't happen that God has not got his good works in it. As tragic as it seems sometimes as we look at something, God will always bring good out of it. Some of the most worst times I've had in my life, after I got through, it was those times that changed me into the likeness of what I am today. And if I didn't go through the pain or if I didn't go through the difficulty, then we wouldn't be who we are today. Amen? So God is good. And let's just keep, and I pray the men, get on the phone, encourage this man to be healed. Ladies, get with Kate and just encourage her. Give her a call. Say, we love you. We're praying for you. Anything we can do for you, you know, and go from that room. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about, I prepared a message But I had two other messages in the can that I was going to work on. And Lord, over the weekend and some of the events we've had this weekend, the Lord has just said, no, you preach what I told you to preach the other night. So I'm going to talk to you about the fire of God today. Amen. And a lot of people don't understand the fire of God. And the fire of God is a typology. It's a metaphor. It's not disrespecting it, but it's a metaphor used in Scripture and refers to the power, presence, purifying qualities of God. And if anything the church needs today is that we need His presence, we need His power, and we need His purification. Because no matter where we go and what we turn, if you own a cell phone, you've been exposed to pollution. Hello? I don't care where we are, who you are, I don't care how righteous you are, how holy you are, how high and mighty you are. If you own a cell phone, you are exposed to stuff that is detrimental to our spiritual beings. It's not saying that you can't use your cell phone, it's just saying, or your television or anything else. But the point is that we need God's power, presence, and we need His purifying. We need to be purified every single day. Every day I ask for God, forgive me for my sins and my iniquity and my transgressions in thought, word, and deed. Amen? And start that, and we have that. But it comes through the fire of God. The fire of God reveals the very substance and the nature of God. Okay? When you say fire, you're talking God. You're talking His presence. You're talking, when God shows up and His fire shows up, His presence, His manifest presence shows up, and you will never be the same, ever, ever be the same once you encounter the fire of God. Scripture refers to God as a consuming fire in Deuteronomy 4:24 on the New American Standard. It says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." When we speak about God, we speak about many aspects, but God is the fire of God. He is the fire. We don't have to ask for God for fire. He is the fire. And if you understand and been around me long enough, we'll understand that the presence of God sits, and the essence of who God is sits where? Sits inside of us. Amen? And so God is known for many things, but He is the fire of God. When we call the fire of God down, we're calling God to come and invade our space, whatever we are. Because of the decline in the fear, decline of the fear of the Lord in our culture today. Now, how many of you know that there is a major decline? People do not fear God anymore. Are you with me? They do not fear God anymore. And I want to say one thing that's really captivating of the Christian walk is that the church no longer fears God. And these are the areas that God is going to say. And I don't know about you, but we had a wonderful time yesterday. We had a great time with Mac and Kathy and the elders. And I'm just here to say, this is a fresh start for this place. Today, we're looking at a fresh start. Right, elders? A fresh start. And God is going to move mightily, but He's going to move in a fashion that might be contrary to what you think He ought to move. And one of the things He will do is He'll bring His presence and His fire, and He will have His way. Can I hear an amen on that? But the decline in the fear of the Lord, there is a lack of understanding of God's power and His wrath against His enemies to burn up and destroy all that oppose Him and His word, and continually to break His commandments. And that is happening in the world today because there is no more fear of God. Amen? It's as simple as that. Where is the church today? The church needs to be baptized fresh and anew in the fire of God. We need to be rekindled, refired. We need to have the breath of the living God breathe into our nostrils. New life. How many of you want new life? How many of you walk with the Lord, amen, and you just don't feel the spiritual life you used to have? And there is a decline in spirituality. But I tell you, my dear beloved, I am not participating in the decline. I'm going to go with the fire. I said to our church one time, and all kinds of stuff was happening when I was pastoring. And I said to them, and boy, did some things happen after that. And seemingly not good things, but they were good things. But my prayer was simply this: Lord, do not let this church go out like a smoldering coal that has no life. I'd rather our church burn up and blow up by the fire of God than to die like a coal that has no fire. And I look around the church today, I don't see fire. I see briquettes that's been out of the fire for a long time. A lot of briquettes. You know what I mean by briquettes? Coal. Amen? And God is looking to motivate and to fire the church up. Get all excited. We say get all excited, tell everybody about Jesus, okay? And when we leave church, are we excited? Are we ready to tell people about Jesus? Is Jesus on our mind? Do we sing the song, and it's the song is taking hold of the church. I mean, speak the name of Jesus. We love it. We sing in our church, and things just explode. But what we've got to do is speak the name of Jesus to this. Amen? And the book of Hebrews carries on that theme of the image of God in Hebrews 12:29 in the New American Standard. It says, for God is a consuming fire. Now, there's the things that is that Mac and I were kidding a little bit last night. I said, but how many of you know what a pogo stick is, like a stick, okay? And many of us want God's presence, but we have a stick between us. So I want to experience his presence, but I want to experience it in a way that I can control the results. And so I'm going to get close to you, but you can't get any closer than this stick that I'm handling. Why is that? Because if you touch the fire, you're going to get burned. And that happens either on the good side or on the other side. I don't know about you, but I want to be burned up by the presence of God. I want to be so on fire for God that when I walk out there, people will see not Al Chapman, but a flame. As soon as they come near them, they will feel the energy of the sparkle of God's fire. Can you imagine what would happen to your community if 20 people had that fire on them, and no matter where they walked, people say, whoa! And do you know what they would do? They would follow that fire right here to this place. You see, we're asking God, bring people in. And I call, we used to do this all the time, and I still do it. Call people from the north, the south, and the west. Oh, living God, those you have ordained to be a part of our house. But God says, I don't want to send them to smoldering coals. I want people to come in where they're going to be affected, and their lives are going to be on fire for Jesus. Amen? When Pastor Karen and I, when we got touched by God, we were radical nutcases. I mean, we were so on fire, we didn't care about who said what or where. We just told everybody about Jesus. Everybody. We didn't care. Well, you can't do that today. No, that's what they've convinced you. You can't do that today. I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus, about the fire and about the presence of God, about this place. Hey, you want a touch from God? Come to Freedom Worship Center next Sunday, because I'm going to tell you, we have a move of God. You come, and we'll be there. And you start talking that with enthusiasm, with belief inside of us that you have been touched by the fire of God. My beloved, they'll follow you in droves, because the people out there are dry sticks. I'll tell you, everything's happening all around New England. There is a move of God in America. Do you not know that? But when it comes to New England, it's just like dry bones and sticks. And the Lord said to me one time, and I said, Lord, why is New England like a bunch of dried oak trees? He said, oh, son, you don't understand what happens when my fire touches the dried oak tree. Oh, you don't know what happens when my spark comes in to dry wood that's been sitting around waiting to be on fire. And I'm seeing that in New England. As soon as the fire of God invades New England, poof, all over the place, there's going to be trees just puffing up in fire and smoldering. And if you want to just look at the wildfires out west and see the flames and what they're doing in Texas, they're dealing with it right now. It's detrimental. But I look at those flames and I say, oh God, let flames like that of the Spirit invade our homes. Wow. I don't know about you, but I get a little excited about that. So in contrast, because God will burn up his enemies. God will burn up and consume his enemies. Everybody that opposes him is facing a dangerous life. Can you hear me? Anybody that breaks his commandments, we see in this country, we see all over the place, people breaking God's commandments. And they just don't do it secretly anymore. They do it in his face and in our face. They do it right in front of us and say, now what are you going to do about it? We don't believe in God. We don't believe in his commandments. So what are you going to do about it? And the challenge is, we don't know what to do about it. Because we are dealing with it in our own beings. But if we had the fire of heaven in our lives, I would say, yeah, I'll tell you what we're going to do about it. We're going to set this place on fire, and you're going to repent, and you're going to change, and the commandments are going to start being obeyed, and the word of God is going to start being obeyed. Why? Because we now have a different mindset. Being on fire for God is, I don't accept the world's point of view. I change it. One word from a fired up saint of God can do more work than all kinds of stuff in the news. All kinds, just one firing word of God. And that doesn't mean that there's pastors, or it doesn't mean ministry, it doesn't mean elders. It means everybody that accepts Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God wants to put a fire in your bosom. Amen? So in contrast to destroying, because we talked about that, destroying his enemies, and he will destroy his enemies, and by the way, he will take down a church who turns their back on him. That's why churches are closing all over America. They are closing, church. Why is that? It's because they no longer have entreated the presence and the fire of God in their bosoms. And now they operate in their religion. God did not come to save a religion. In fact, God called them empty tombs. God called them spiritual leaders. Amen? He's coming after people who want him and are on fire for him. And so in contrast to destroying the enemies and the wicked, God's fire is essential for sanctifying and purifying and preparation of the disciples, enabling them to walk in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:25. Amen? Because God has called us to live and to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And what does that mean? That means I'm walking continually in the presence of God. Even in my home, I'm walking in the presence of God. What degree do we want? Oh, Lord, turn the temperature up a little bit on every one of us. Turn it up, Lord. We're sitting on the burner or our stove. Turn it up, Lord. How many of you say, turn the heat up, Lord? Turn the heat up, Lord. Turn it up even greater. Burn away everything that's preventing me from becoming the person that you've called me to be. Isn't that exciting? While being burned up? I think it is. The fire is the essential development of every disciple's life. And what we're seeing is, why is the church where it is? It's because we have not embraced the presence and the fire of God the way we have conditions on it. My thing is, God, whatever you want to do to me, do it. But do it with your fire and your presence. That we know who you are. Every day, I want to walk in the presence of the living God. When I leave this place, I'm not leaving the presence. I'm leaving the gathering of saints. I'm leaving a building. But when I leave this building, what I want to have happen is I want the fire to be increased in my life. So when I walk out into those streets, I'll be a flaming fire for Christ. Young people are waiting for the reality of the truth of Christianity. And it's not in the doctrine of man. It's not in fancy preaching. They're looking for something real. And when they come in contact with someone that's on fire for Christ, are you going to turn heads? Absolutely. You going to upset people? Absolutely. Are you going to be woke? No. Are you going to be say things that is banned from being the saint today? Absolutely. Because when you're walking in the presence and the fire of God, your words will be directed by who? By Holy Spirit who resides in us. The fire of God is a force, listen to me now, that inspires and empowers and disciples to be creative, have passion. How many of us have passion for Jesus every day? I can't wait to do something for you, Jesus. Hello? Are you waking? God's after people who say, I want to be passionate for you, Lord. I want to have passion. I want to have zeal. I want to be able to have a spiritual conviction about my being. I want to have activation that motivates all people around me. I want to have God's spirit inside me. And I'll pay any price, Lord, to walk as a man or a person or a woman who's your presence. Any price. The flame of God's presence ignites within the heart of every disciple and illuminates the light of glory in their hearts. It wakens their spirit. Amen. It activates God's power. If you hear what I'm saying, you will not walk around powerless, because the power of the Spirit of God rest sits inside of you. The fire of God is inside of you. No one can put that fire out. The only person that can put the fire of God that he's put in your bones, the only person that can put that out is you. The devil cannot put the fire of God out inside you, because the fire resists what comes against them. And so God is looking for a people who will yield. And he's going to be radical. I've been lately telling stories. And when we got on fire for Jesus, we got on fire. We moved to Charlottesville, Virginia. I won't go into all that. We lived in Atala, Connecticut, just built a brand new home. And God said, I said, what do you want from me, God? I just got saved. I'm telling everybody about Jesus. Everybody getting upset with me, but I'm telling about Jesus. People leaving our business, you know, they don't want to talk to us anymore. So I sat in the living room one time, my brand new home, and I said, God, what do you want from me? He says, I want you to move to Charlottesville, Virginia. I won't go through the whole story because it would take half an hour to do that. Bottom line is, 30 days later, we were in Charlottesville, Virginia. And when we got down there, we knew God sent us there. We went to a Presbyterian church, and we went in there, and we were radical, on fire for Jesus in a Presbyterian church. And they were really looking at us. We didn't care. And we started telling people about Jesus and the pastor. They were doing a lay witness weekend. We were only there 2 weeks. And the pastor said, I need for you to lead the prayer for the weekend. Why? It's nothing to do with us. He saw the fire. He saw the zeal. He felt the zeal of the Lord. He was pulling the zeal out of us, the energy, the power of God, because we were on fire. We didn't care. And the whole church got turned upside down. 21 youths got saved and speaking in tongues in a Presbyterian church, with the youth minister that we coupled with. Isn't that powerful? So the flame of God ignites this inside of us. It brings conviction. It activates and motivates us to be who we're supposed to be. If a person is on fire, can I just be a pastor for a moment? If a person is on fire, they won't mosey their way into church. I'm going to church today. They won't come in late. They'll be here early, because I'm eager to be in the presence of God and God's people. I'll never forget the time I was out in Cornerstone Church. It's Michael Pitts, Bishop Michael Pitts Church. We were out there, and I was out there. They asked us to come out there, and I preached out there in a little bit. But he had prayer meeting on Saturday morning. So I'm going to come experience that. These people are on fire for God. Honest to God, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, people running by me. I said, what on earth is going on here? And I walked inside the building, and they were running to go to a prayer meeting. Hundreds of them. They were so on fire for God, they didn't lollygag, they ran. I said, oh God, give us that in New England. I hope someone's hearing me. Because some of your faces right now are telling me, I don't know about this thing. Amen? So I just laid a foundation, a little bit of the fire of God and its effect on one's life. Amen? And here's what happens when the fire of God, sometimes, how many of you have really been on hot for God and all of a sudden you don't feel so hot for God? Has anybody ever gone through that? Okay? I had all kinds of hope, and after 13 situations in my life, my hope is not so hot anymore. Okay? And this is what God wants to change. I'm convinced of it. That if we get the idea of the presence and the power and the fire and the zeal of God in our bosom, that all circumstances will not have a control over my thinking or my inside. I will simply deal with them, but it doesn't affect this at all. Are you with me? So sometimes the fire, the zeal, the passion in one's heart for the Lord and his kingdom loses brilliance and clarity and begins to wane and dim and lose its luster. Has anybody ever lost the luster of the high point that you had in God? Come on, church. Bob Mumford said this. He was an old-time preacher. He says, if you are not to the highest pinnacle point of your spiritual experience, if you're not living there, you have backslid. He said, whoa, that's pretty strong. But he says, God wants us to be living at the pinnacle point of his experience with us, the high point. He wants us to live in the high point. Well, that's not reality. You know, it is reality if it comes from the inside out. Are you with me? There is nothing more, trust me, I've been here, okay? There is nothing more miserable and daunting than a heart that has lost its fire, grown cold, and become hard, affecting their relationship with the Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit. There's nothing more daunting and miserable for someone who has tasted the goodness of God but lives in the rot of the world. When I say rot of the world, it's not because the world is rotten. Because when you look at it from God's perspective, everything he has is good. Everything we deal with on here, right, is not always good. But God brings goodness out of it. When the kind of spiritual condition exists in a disciple's life, one simply needs to receive a breath in the fire of God that brings life to the smoldering coals, causing one's heart to become burning fire, to allow God's word to become and penetrate within them, their heart, and that they guard their heart and do not allow the fire to go out. What do we have to do? I was in El Salvador. We were down there, down in our first missions trip. We had a worship conference. I'll never forget this. I can close my eyes and I can see it as if it happened 3 minutes ago. And we were praying. Power of God and the fire of God was all over the place. And so I come up to this young kid. And I didn't speak Spanish, so I had to have an interpreter. But the bottom line, this kid was crying profusely. His front of his shirt was soaked from his tears. I'll never forget this. He was in agony. Crying. And I went up to him and I said, what's going on? How can I pray for you? His big brown eyes, I can see him today, opened up like golf balls, and he said to me, "All I want is more of God." I've never forgotten that. All I want is more of God. Can you imagine what would happen if the youth of this region got in their spirit, got touched by the breath of God, breathed, and you ask them, what do they want? And all I want is to pursue my relationship with God. Why don't we see that? Have you asked yourself that? I've asked myself that. He says, because, the Lord says, because the church has not got the passion and the zeal to run after me at all costs. And so the young people, simply, in a deluded fashion, is copying the church. And God wants to breathe. God wants, I always talk about revival, but you know, I think it's more than just being revived. I think it's more than just being awakened. I think God wants to breathe in our nostrils a fresh touch of his presence and his spirit. I think God wants to bring fire. I think he wants to burn us up inside so much that we can't do anything but praise him. He said, well, how am I going to work and earn a living? Listen to me, church. If you get on the fire of God, you'll be better on your job than you've ever been before, because you'll be conscious of the presence of God and you'll be doing it unto him. There's too much thing about people, I'm worried about losing my job. Don't worry about losing your job. Be on fire for Jesus. Be a witness for Jesus wherever you go. And so I'm going to tell you some of the things that are going to happen. We've had people in our church that their families actually got mad at their children because they got on fire for God. Parents mad at the children because they got on fire for God. How do you figure that out? Well, it figures out because now the children are on fire for God, and now the parents have to do something, because these kids are going to, you all hear what I'm saying? I love that. How many of you like Jeremiah? Yeah, you're either love Jeremiah. Jeremiah was having a difficult time with God. In fact, he was really mad at God, quite frankly. Jeremiah was upset. And here's what he said in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, New King James Version. I'm going to read a couple other versions too, but here's what he said. I mean, he was upset with God. I don't know, nobody's ever been upset with God here, right? No, ever? No. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him. Can you imagine that? Jeremiah, the prophet of prophets. This guy was on fire for God at one time. He says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm not going to do it anymore. No more, God. Has anybody ever reached that point? Come on. But here's the catcher. But Jeremiah said, but his word is in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. What was Jeremiah worried about? He was mad at God. Things weren't going his way. Has that ever happened to anybody? And his biggest struggle was because God put his fire inside of him. The biggest struggle was for Jeremiah to match how he felt about God is to stop from what was on the inside coming out. He tried to restrain it, but God said, but he said, no, that the fire of God, like the word of God, is in my bones. It's burning me up. I can't be mad at him and shut this thing down. Wow. Wow. Amplified. If I say I will not make mention of the Lord or speak any more in his name, in my mind and heart, it is as if there was a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of enduring and holding it in. I cannot contain it any longer. Church, I'm telling you, if we get the fire of God in our bones and we get the word of God in our bones, there will be no retaining it. The world has set the church up so it is retrained, it is restrained. Even Christians are afraid to mention Jesus outside of their home or their church. But there is a generation coming up, listen to me, that does not care. But when this generation comes alive, please hear my heart, and they come to places like River Valley or this church or any other church, and they're on fire for God, and they see the older people smoldering coals, smoking but no heat, subtle orange but no flame. There is a contradictory situation happening, because they're going to come in the church looking for the church to be on fire for God and then do nothing but run into smoldering coals. Are you hearing me? And here's what the Lord said. The fight will be is that the young people are going to want to set the coals on fire. And the coals are too stuck in their ways to get the flame on him. And the young people are going to come, and they're going to be on fire for God. The question is, what church has got their doors opened for the new flames to come in? To actually, in some cases, take over. Actually come in and get radical in our church services. I saw someone running around here today. That was a known thing. I mean, and it's got a bit of my spirit, but it's a known thing when in charismatic movement that we had people going crazy, right? Because we were hot for it. We didn't care what people thought. I like this. I don't use Message Bible very often, but I like this. Same scripture. But if I say, forget it, talking to God, no more God messages from me. The words are fire in my belly and burning my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in and cannot any longer. You will not have to worry when God breathes the fire inside of you on what to say. Many church people do not witness or talk about Jesus because they don't know what to say. I don't know the word. I don't know this. I don't know that. And they're intimidated because they didn't go to theological seminary. They're not like Pastor Mac. They're not like the elders. They all know the word. They don't. Listen to me. I'll move on. You have the author of the word inside of you. Bible says that you are the dwelling place of who? Holy Spirit. Who authored the word using vessels, but who wrote the word? Is it not Holy Spirit? Is not Holy Spirit inside you? Now, what the challenge is Holy Spirit sitting inside of us, but we have not got the fire of the Holy Spirit to bring all that he has put in us out. And so God is going to breathe fresh fire in every single one who opens their heart to have it. The one's heart is full of the word, his fire, his presence, and it cannot be held back. That's what Jeremiah said. You can't hold it back. There are times, and I have a young pastor, well, young, he's not young anymore, he's middle age, at our church, Pastor Mark. He opens his mouth, the word comes out. That's it. It's strange. But everywhere he goes, anything he does, the word comes out. Because it's burning hot in his bones. Drives him crazy sometimes because it's hot in his bones. It's because God has breathed something in his spirit about the word of God. And so what we do as we're getting older is that we reach a point where we don't know the word that well. I don't know the word maybe as well as even some people do. But that doesn't stop me. Why? Because as soon as I have something to say and I'm on fire for God, the Spirit of the Lord comes inside me and he speaks it through me. And when he speaks it through you, there's power. Are you with me? And so I want you to understand that God is looking for the church to get on fire. Scripture says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Not the drudges of life, the issues of life. Life is not bad. Life can be wonderful. Why do we talk about all the bad stuff when we have the living God and his fire and his bosom in our bosom? Why can't, when we talk about life, oh, that's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong. Well, why don't we chuck that and start saying, you know, I had an encounter with God, and God says this, and God says that, and all of a sudden we start speaking with fire, with life, to our family and to our relatives. You want your home squared away? Start speaking the words of life and fire and presence of God in your home. The spiritual heart is full of fire, and it's the core seat. It's the seat of one's life, from where their spiritual and their actions come from. Our whole being is dependent on the very essence, for our heart, our spiritual heart, is the core seat of everything that happens in our lives. It's not from your brain. It's from your heart. God does not speak to your brain so you can filter it the way you want. He speaks to your heart and then changes your brain to match the heart. What the church has done is that we take the brain or our thoughts and we shape our heart. God says, no, that's not the way it works. I come into heart, give you a new heart, that's what the Bible says, and I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'm going to breathe in your heart. And then I'm going to cause your thinking and your mind to line up with what I did in your heart, not what the world is telling you must happen. And that's where the fire comes in, because you see, your heart, if it's on fire for God, you'll speak the things of God. The spiritual heart is full again, and it's the core that causes all actions and all life responsibilities coming from your heart. Luke 6:45, all right? A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure, amen, of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If God breathes fresh presence and fire inside of you, and you seek that, and you ask God, you cry out to God like that young man, every day I want more of you. Every day I need for you to invade my life. Every day I need for you to touch me. Every day I need for fresh fire. Every day, Lord, I need fresh breath. Because when I walk out the doors, I want to be a flame of fire that brings the glory of heaven here on earth. Because my Bible says that Jesus calls us the what? The light. Jesus doesn't give us flashlights where the batteries wear out. He brings the eternal light of the Spirit, the fire of God inside of us. So every disciple needs to cry out, and I'm going to encourage you today. This is a new thing in this church. Cry out. Cry out. Come to prayer meetings. Cry out for more of God. Cry out for the Spirit. Cry out for his presence. Amen? And I'll put it this way, because I say this a lot. Well, your prayer meetings need to stop being about running noses, problems, snot nose, crying, all this stuff. Your prayer needs to bring, come, Lord God, bring your fire, and call down who God is in our lives. That's what our prayer meetings need to be. All right? Why can I say that? Well, what about my needs? Well, Matthew 6 simply says this, all right? God knows your needs. You don't have to keep telling God your needs. It's just before around the Lord's Prayer. You don't have to keep praying. We go to prayer meeting. We need this, this need. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but please hear me. I'm meddling, but hear me, because I want people to get on fire for God and get beyond our own personal woe is me and wokeism, and start to cry out on the name of God and the fire of God, that when we come to a prayer meeting, it won't be a ho-hum prayer meeting, but it'll be on fire. It will be speaking in tongues. It will be praying. It will be, I mean, I'm telling you, church, Okay? Prayer meetings need to change. Prayer meetings move God. And if God's not being moved, what's our prayer meetings doing? Putting us to sleep. And so I want us to just be excited. Get excited. Tell everybody about it, that Jesus Christ is King. Amen? For each and every disciple needs to cry out for the full power and fire of God to fill their presence. Every one of us. Now I'm going to say this to you. At any cost, that's not good words for the church. I mean, any cost. At any cost, God set me on fire. Any cost. I remember, I think it was Tim Schilt telling the story that they had such the power of God at their church, such a move of God. I think it was him up in Middletown, Ohio, that actually flames of fire was seen on top of the building. And actually fire department came, I think, if I remember it correctly. In the charismatic movement, there's been reports where the presence of God was so strong that they actually could see flames of fire. No, it didn't burn anything up, but it was there. Can we get beyond our human thinking and start to think heavenly and start to believe, my God can bring the fire down to such a degree that it's so strong in us that it would be manifested to the naked eye. Have I gotten crazy in my old age? You betcha. Amen? So disciples of Christ must realize that revival begins when God breathes fire in their heart. And what's happening is that the church is looking for God to do something. We're waiting for the miracles to come. We're waiting for the signs to come. We're waiting. We want to see miracles. Jesus stressed that, those who seek signs and wonders. Okay? Signs and wonders do not come before the fire comes. Listen to me now. You want to see revival and awakening? God's not going to come down here and do miracles and a whole bunch of signs and wonders and miracles so you all can see the miracles and then go home and live your life the way you was before you came to church. Because that's what's happened. I've prayed for people that actually have been healed, and 2 weeks later, they're back living their life like God never touched them. Amen? And so what the Lord is after us is for a transformation. For revival is not going to come by outwardly signs. It could. I don't limit God. But where revival really is going to come is when you cry out to God and say, God, I'm cold, and I'm not where I used to be, and I need your fire. I need more of you. I need you to invade my life at all costs. What would happen if that happened? I'm going to tell you what would happen. Because the proper interpretation is that the signs and wonders follow the saints, don't precede them. So the saints, so what happened? I preached a message a couple weeks ago in our church, Pastor Mark's Medication, and I preached two things, walk in the Spirit and agreement. That's why I preached those two things. And I'm going to say to you, because we are living testimony, not braggadocio, it's fact. That when you walk in the Spirit and you are on fire for God and you're in agreement with what God wants to do, are you hearing me? Things just happen. Like a miracle. And you turn around and you look, wow, where'd that come from? Or someone, you say something, or something transpires in your life that you would consider a miracle. And you weren't even seeking for it. Because why? Because miracles and signs and wonders is a result of a relationship with Jehovah God and Yeshua. That's what it does. And so we're looking for a move of God outside our beings. And God says, no, children, I'm looking for a move of God inside your being. That every day you get up, the first thing comes to your mind is me. Not your job, not the bad breath of your spouse, not anything else. But God's looking for a people who will be so sold out to him. And we'll function in the world. This is what the church, I can't function in the world and function in the spirit the same way. I got to be spiritual and I can't function in the world. That is a bunch of garbage, excuse me. Because if you're spiritual, God prepares you to function. Are you with me? If you function and hope the Spirit blesses you, you're on your own. But if I'm spiritual and I'm fire for God, then things just happen. Miracles. We went through a rough time in Virginia. We lost everything we owned. Everything. To the point of no home or anything. But we were on fire for Jesus, and we didn't get down, we didn't get negative, we didn't get all that stuff. We just, what's up next? My wife went 2 years praying for me as God was breaking me. And she prays. And God spoke 2 words to her for 2 years. Is that correct? And what God's kept to my wife as she sees her husband being broken, losing everything we own, all the business is all gone. Everything gone. Didn't know where we were going to lay our head. And the only 2 words that God would speak for 2 years to my wife is, trust me. Is that correct? Trust me. We were so on fire for God that we handled situations with hope, even though they were devastating to us. I was broken, but I had hope. Because of something that was put in my being by the Spirit of God. And during the times, and I know nobody's ever had these times of just despair and everything is going wrong. There's an internal flame that comes up and says, but there is hope. But there is hope. Hallelujah. Much emphasis has been placed on baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it should be placed on baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Matthew 3:11c, New King James Version, says this: He, Jesus, will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and that's where we stop. And when you're looking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we pray for people. And like the church does, we choose scriptures and interpret them the way we want, because we never complete the scripture. See, the scripture says that he would baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. And the fire comes. Aren't you excited? I'm actually stopping. Well, maybe. The actual fire comes. God takes a hold of us and turns us into something that he's created. I've been in churches that have lost the fire, lost the zeal. Amen? Thank you. I've been in churches where smoldering coals, they even come to the altar, but nobody's praying for fresh fire. This church needs a fresh fire. You need to seek with everything inside you, God. We've had people, many people come through the walls of this house. And if truth be known, they leave to search for something brighter and greater. But yet they walk into the same thing, because church generally has lost its fire, lost its passion. If I'm passionate for God, I have no time to criticize. If I'm passionate with God, I have no time to doubt. I just do. And I walk in the Spirit, and I sense Holy Spirit. I sense Him. Because the fire inside of me burns hot to do His will, to say what He wants to say. Do I still get upset? Duh. Do I still get anxious sometimes? Yeah. Do I still respond to all that's around us? I mean, you got to have some strong constitution to look at that world out there and think something good's going to happen. Come on. Just go to the grocery store. My God. Are you with me? I went to the grocery store and I got mad. The item I was buying was double what it was a year and a half, 2 years ago. Mad. Got an attitude. Got home and brought my attitude to my family, my wife. I was mad. Look what the world's doing to us. But then all of a sudden, that flickering flame, the presence of God sits inside me and says, am I not bigger than the price of that item? Have you reduced me to the inflation of prices that I can't supply your need? Have you reduced me to what the world says? You have to succumb because the government says succumb. You have to change your mind about righteousness and holiness because that's what the government's telling you. And God is reminding me that people walk in the fire of God do not live first in the government upon this world. But we live in the government of God. You want this place to blow wide open? I've been coming here a long time. I preach to you. And I believe in this place. It's like a family to me. It's like a second home. And I'm here to tell you, excuse me, that God wants to touch hearts. God wants you to be on fire for Him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. How many of you really want to be on fire for God? I mean, really want to be. That you'll pay any price to have the living God in your nostrils every day. When the world lives in despair, the one who raised Jesus from the dead says to you, do not despair, but declare the abundance of my glory. People are fainting around me, 1,000 and 10,000 on each side. But all of a sudden, God says, from the inside, have I not given you my glory? Have I not given you the fire? So inside every one of us, like the prophet Jeremiah, excuse me, just think about Jeremiah for a minute. Prophet Jeremiah had a problem with God. Just like us, we have a problem with church. We have a problem with relationships. And the degree that Holy Spirit has taken up residence in our heart determines our reaction to all that. This house, 1 year from now, can be standing room only. This house can someday have to have a policeman out in the entrance to direct traffic around what's going on here. In Baltimore, they had a revival, awesome revival. Tractor trailer truck was going down the highway, full speed. I think it was 691, this is the major highway. And the tractor trailer driver pulled his rig over, parked it, ran up a hill, and ran into Rock Church of Baltimore, saying, I've got to be saved. Because when he was driving by the church, the presence and the power of God made such an impact on him, he could not proceed with his life any further. But he ran to get touched by the fire of the living God. I could tell you stories. I'll tell you one more in closing. We were in Guatemala. We are going to this church service with Mario, our missionary, and his wife, Suzanne. We were in a school bus going, way in the country, way. I didn't even know if they had electricity. And we got almost there, and I turned on Mario. I said, so what you preaching? He says, I'm not preaching. I said, well, who is? He says, you are. He forgot to inform me. We got in that service. They had benches, just wood benches. The lighting in the room was a light bulb. That was it. One light bulb. But we walked into a furnace of people looking to be burned up with God. I preached the message. I prophesied. And the pastor started breaking down because I did not know. Weeks prior to that, the congregation prayed, God, send someone to speak to the pastor's sons about the ministry. And the Lord says, pull that one out, speak over his life. Pull that one out, speak over his life. Holy Spirit is all over the place. But that's a great part, but that wasn't the part that touched my heart. I didn't know about the third son. This little child, must have been two or three, laying on the side of the stage in a fetal position. I'm not being exaggerating. Literally a pool of water underneath this kid. Because God touched him with his fire, and the word of the Lord came and fulfilled all their desires that the sons were prophesied over. See, when you walk into a furnace of Holy Spirit, you can't help but get burned in a good way. Hallelujah. So I'm going to close the service with this. If you would like, and let me say this to you, and I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if I'm going to pray for you, but I'm just going to say this to you. If you won't do it at all costs, please stay in your seat. But if you want to be an instrument of the fire of God, the presence of God, that when you walk out, you won't have to worry about what you say to someone, because you're going to be such a being in the spirit that they're going to come. May I touch you? They're going to come, and they're going to touch you. And they're going to want to rub on you. They're going to be near you. What's going on? Get away from me. No. They're attracted to something that's sovereign. And the world we know today is starving from the sovereign God. They have no hope. Teenagers are committing suicide. Drugs are killing our people, our kids. And all of a sudden, there's no hope. But that means, church, that the trees are very dry and the atmosphere is perfect. For one of you, maybe you, maybe you, maybe Mac, maybe me, one of you will go into a group of people and it will be like a spark. And all of a sudden they get touched by the Holy Ghost, saved, baptized, and set on fire. If you want that, get up out of your seat and come up front today. I don't know if I'm going to lay hands on you, but I'm going to at least have you come up. And don't do it unless you want to commit at all cost. God, I want you and only you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, here's what the Lord is saying to me now. Pastor, I want you to come up here with me. Here's what the Lord is saying to me now. Because traditionally, I can lay hands on you, and yes, many of you will go over in a spirit, and that's fun, and I enjoy doing that. I really like that. But God's saying that means they got to depend on you to get the fire. I don't want this church depending on man to get the fire. I want them to want it so bad that they'll cry out and that Holy Spirit will fall on them. And I declare fire in this place. That you're so drawn by the Spirit of God that you won't rest until the hand of Yeshua touches you and the Spirit that raised him from the dead starts to rise up inside of you and starts to speak to you. You're my child. And to you, my son died. And to you, Holy Spirit has come to dwell within you. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of fire. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that Holy Spirit, you fall right on. Not only today, but in the morning and tomorrow, tonight, let the fire of the Spirit of God, capture your hearts. I am so tempted to go touch you because I know that what would happen, but I'm restrained from doing it. God says, I don't want these people to think they got to look to man to have something spiritual to happen to them. But Holy Spirit is coming, and he's touching lives, and he's touching them now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Holy Spirit was speaking the word to me while the preaching was going on quite a while ago. And he brought, because the word is in me, so he brought the word out, part of what Pastor Al was saying. And it's the scripture that says, I am persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? I am persuaded that he is able to keep that what which I have committed to him until that day. So what have you committed to? Have you given 10% of yourself, of your life, 20, 50? 75? 100? Only you can answer that. But this I know, his word is true. And he said, he wants you to believe that he will keep that. Doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter the struggle, the cost, the circumstances that you will face, because you will face these things in this season. Face things you never dreamed you'd have to deal with. But you're not facing them alone. You're facing them in the power, strength, and might of the very Holy Spirit of God himself that lives inside of you. That's why you don't have to fear. That's why you don't have to worry about his provision being falling short of what you, any need that you have. Because what? He. Not you. Not about you working hard. Yes, you'd be faithful, all these things, but it says you are persuaded that he is able to keep that which you have committed to him until that day. So, Father, I pray you breathe with the Holy Spirit and fire on those things that your people today, right now, in this place, have committed to you. And you will keep those things, cherish those things, breathe on those things, provide for those things, anoint those things until that day. In Jesus' name, receive the power and the release. That's what the Holy Spirit was. We were praying before the service. I didn't know anything about what he was going to preach. Holy Spirit was saying he was going to bring a release and a new freedom today. A release. Reach out to God. Reach out your hands to him. Tell him you need that release. You want that release. You want to be free to be all that he envisioned you to be for his kingdom and for his kingdom purposes and for his glory. And now begin to praise him. Thank him. Exalt the name of the Lord your God and worship him today. Give yourself wholly, wholeheartedly, and freely to his service and to his purposes and to his will. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. With that, you can stay and tarry in the Lord's presence. Please do so until you feel that you're released. Don't rush out. Please consider staying, fellowshipping afterwards. Chapman's will be here for a little while as well downstairs. And just enjoy the Lord's presence and God's people, your family that's here. No two of you are the same, and I love it, and I appreciate it so much. God bless you.